Pasuk Ches. Okay, I'm going back to Pasuk Ches. The Pasuk Ches begins, Havinarim chara Hashem im banaharim apecha im bayam evasecha ki sirkav al susecha makvasecha Yeshua. We started this Pasuk yesterday, Chavakuk perigimul Pasuk Ches. We learned yesterday over here there are three terms used to describe a river. The word Havin Harim, number two, Banu Harim, number three, Bayom. And each of these three words, the Pasuk relates to an expression of anger. Chora, Apecha, and Evrosecha. According to the Mitzudos, the first two words are poetic repetition. Rashi as well says the same thing. Rashi agrees the first two words are poetic repetition. And the Pasuk over here is coming to make an observation. The observation is that it appears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry because the natural order of nature has changed. The natural order of nature is the world is not following the laws of nature, and it would appear that when that happens, it is an expression of anger. That's a very powerful idea because we live in a world today where we feel maybe you'll argue in a global warming. Or there are different things that are happening in this world which we convince ourselves, right or wrong, are not operating according to the laws of nature. There is something that is wrong. And we take that as a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at the world. Along comes this Pasuk Habakkuk and says that's not true. It's not true. Just because we witness in this world events that are not natural, it does not necessarily mean that Hashem is angry. What it really means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is arriving. He is preparing for us the salvation, Yeshua. The MS is, and that's the Pshat on the Pasuk. Havin Harim, is it really true that Chara Hashem is angry at the rivers? And that's why the rivers are not flowing in their ordinary way. Im banaharim apecha, is it really true that Hashem's af is directed against the rivers? Again, a second expression, which is the same thing as the first. Im bayam evrasecha, is it really true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he directed his anger at the yam, at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf? No, Hashem was not angry, just the opposite. What was happening was Hashem was demonstrating his presence upon this world. Ki sirkav, you Hashem are riding al susecha, markavosecha, Yeshua, and upon your chariots there is salvation. Now let's look at the Radak. The Radak, Pasukei Havin Harim, Chora Hashem, Zohar, Bekias, Hayardin, Viyam, Suf. This is similar to what we learned in the Mitzvot and Rashi. We are describing two historical events. The splitting, the Yardin did not split. That's not correct. The Yardin only stopped from one side. There's a fundamental difference between the Yardin and the Yam. When we crossed the Yam, as we left Egypt, it was a split down the center of the Yam. Whereas the Yarden did not split. The Yarden flows from a high location to a lower elevation, to a lower area. And Hashem prevented the Yarden from flowing. The Yarden stood still. It did not continue to flow downstream. And therefore, it wasn't a split. It was a cut. It was a blockade. The waters of the Yarden were just stopped. It stopped in the middle, which allowed us to pass in front of the location where the waters stood still and allowed us to pass. That's again very different than what happened at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, where there was an actual split in the water. And obviously the difference between those two miracles are symbolic and express different messages. Hashem is sending to us different messages as to why in one time the water split, at the other time the waters just stopped flowing. So here the Radak, he draws from this rule, draws from this Zohar Bekiyas Hayadim V'Yamsuf Omar Ma Ze Hoya Lanahodim. What is this that happened to the rivers? Im Chora Af Hashem Bohem Kishen Nifku. Did Hashem get angry? And it says this idea twice. The Omar im banaharim apecha. Omar nireh shechodaf af Hashem banaharim. Shavei reinu shayadin nifka. V'zeu der moshul umalitza. V'chein im bayom evasecha al pekiyas yam suf. V'lozachar hanisim al haseder. Now, when he asks a question that begs that really is a good question. Why indeed did the pasuk describe the event out of order? If we are describing history, we would expect the pasuk to go in order and first mention Kriyas Yamsuf and then mention the Yardin. But for whatever reason, the Radak does not give us an answer. It is indeed out of order. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. Yisirkav al susecha. Okay, we come to the next page. Okay, the next page reads, Yisirkav, but Hashem is not angry. Hashem is just coming, he's running on his chariots. Kineget suf paro v'roichbo sharam avayam. This corresponds to the chariot of Paro, and Paro's horse and his chariots, which he threw down into the sea. Mark Vasech, Yeshua, Mark Vasech, Hayu Lonu, Yeshua, Vazedech, Moshel, Lefisha, Susim, Haim, Muchanim, Lamelchama. The horses are prepared for war, Vrechveim, Haim, Hamenatzchim, and the riders, they are the victors, they are the warriors, the Roiv, generally, Imlo, Itiye, Yad Hashem, Bohem, unless Hashem destroys them. Kamash Amar, Sheker, Hasus, Leshua, although their chateva, a horse, is powerful, mighty, and should succeed, if Hashem does not want that to happen, Hashem will prevent them from having success. The Yoina Sun tier game, Havin Harim Derech Mashal, Ha Al Mal Kivan, we did this yesterday. Rashi directed our attention to the Targum, and Rashi learns the rivers not as a reference to a past event. Rashi learns the rivers as nothing more than a metaphor for the mighty kings of Canaan. There were 31 kings of Canaan, Al Malkivon, the kings, Umashir Yoshoin, and their ministers, the Sagiin, that were mighty and powerful, Kimei Nahara, Hava, just like the river is. Regaz min Kodamoch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger was directed towards these mighty kings, V'al Malchayah HaVerugzoch, Uvayama, and in the Yam Hodato V'hoin Givurto, and in the Yam Kriyas Yam Hashem showed his might, Arei when Iskeleis Almer Kivas Yikaroch, Shechinto La'amoch Tukoyf Upurkon. We translate all these words yesterday, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself, and he revealed his might and his redemption to the Jewish people when he drowned the Egyptians. Okay, that is the Radak. It's pretty straightforward. He's saying Kimat exactly the same thing as what Rashi and the Mitzuda says. Now, let us go to the Malbum. Here it comes. Malbum is now coming up on the screen. No, it's upside down. The picture came out upside down. We got to do it again. I don't know why sometimes it comes upside down and sometimes it comes straight. Let's try this picture. Okay, here we go. Here's the Malbum. Havin Harim. Be a little smaller. Okay, here we go. Malbum. Havinorim Hamelitz Yitzayer Po Niskavois. The Melitz, meaning Chavakuk, he's called here the Melitz. He's the one that is describing the events. He is describing here the mighty, awesome deeds of Hashem. Bitzad Echad Mitzayer Shebuchol Mokam Mabrois Yisrael. At every junction, at every point in time in history when the Jewish people had to cross over a body of water, Yachrevu Yamim Unoharois, the waters dried up. Veyihu Lichorava, and they were dry. Lavar Geulim. Vezeyit Sayer Bepasik Ches Vetes, and this being described down in the next two psukim. We only learned so far Pasik Ches, we have to learn Pasik Ches in a moment. Okay, this over here, the Malbum over here is connecting Pasik Ches to Pasik Ches, even though we should have done Pasik Ches, we'll just have to manage for the moment. Uvitzad acher mitzayer tzir misnaged loy. And we're also going to describe in a different location a different event. What does that mean? He explains. Shebuchol mokam moishvois hayishmeilim yisu neharos tochyam. The waters crush them. the waters rose up and crushed them. The Hamayim Yalu Vichasu Hodim Vishbitu Hakoil. This will be described from Pasuk Yud. So he's giving us over here some background. He's giving us over here some words of introduction to the next three Pesukim. Pasuk Ches and Pasuk Tes are describing the miraculous splitting of the waters for the Jewish people at every key juncture, every moment of transition. And corresponding, Zeh L'Uma Zeh, the Yishme'elim. Why only the Yishma'elim and not the Bnei Esav or other nations? We have to see that soon. But when it comes to the Yishma'elim, Hashem also used water against them, not as a tool of salvation, but as a tool of destruction. And that will appear in Pasuk Yud, the third Pasuk of this series. V'zeh Yitzayah miPasuk Yud. Oimer. And he comes now to explain this idea, this thesis in great detail. So now we start with Pasuk Ches. Oimer, it says here in Pasuk Ches, Havin Adem Chor Hashem, Ki Oz Yibaku Hanadim V'Hayamim V'Yiyu La'Yabasha. Kimo Shekasuv V'Hechadim Hashem Eis L'Shon Yom Mitzrayim. Hashem dried up the Sea of Egypt. V'Hinif Yodu Al Anachar Bayom Ruchon Hashem, he waved his hand on the river. Bayom Rucho, with his awesome Bayom means the might of his wind. And he guided us with shoes. Okay, so this is the Pasuk in Yeshaya. And this Pasuk in Yeshaya is coming to describe the historical event of Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, here it says Lashon Yom. Now, we have a tradition that the Yam split into 12 channels, 12 tunnels, and each channel was for one of the Shvatim. This Pasuk, that is a Pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya that says, V'kol l'shiva nicholim, seven streams, v'hidrich b'ano'olim, and he guided them with shoes. Now this part of the Pasuk refers to the Yardain, does not necessarily refer to the Yam. I don't know, I did not look up this Pasuk, so let's just leave it for now. But the Pasuk there in Yeshaya, generally, even though once upon a time, we learned Yeshaya a long time ago, time to Chazar, but there in this Pasuk in Yeshaya is describing over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is drawing up the Yam and allowing the Jewish people to pass. And Pasuk here mentions the river. The river does not refer to, river L'chor refers to the Yardain when we came into Eretz Yisrael, and the Yam refers to Kriyas Yamsuf. Umitzayer zekilu chora af Hashem al hanahodim, and the way that we describe this event is from the perspective of an observer who does not know what is taking place, it would appear that Hashem is angry. V'shofach evrosa el hayom, Hashem is pouring out his anger on the sea, shalochin yacha rimeim, that's why it appears that it's being destroyed. V'yoivish meimeihem, and the waters are drying up. V'shir ha'kosov, and the explanation, the flow, the meaning of the pasuk is, v'chi ba'nohodim chora Hashem, it's a question, a rhetorical question. V'chi ba'nohodim chora Hashem, asher be'eis tirkav al susecha makvosecha Yeshua, Nehoros Tevaka Eretz. Is it really true that Hashem got angry? Of course it's not true. Hashem is not angry. Hashem is just doing miracles for us when he comes on his chariot to save us. Umash Omar. And this that it says, Eri. Now he's going into the next pasuk. Okay, now we read into the next pasuk. The next pasuk, we didn't learn it yet inside, but we can translate it right now. Eriya Seor Kashdecha. You have exposed your bow. Hashem has come on his chariot, riding attached, hitched to the horses, and Hashem takes out his bow and arrow, and he shoots the arrows at our enemies. Area, Seor, area means to expose, Kashtecha, Shivuois, Matois, Oimer, Sela. Humaymar Muskar. Okay, now this is a parenthetical statement. He explains, Mitzayen HaYeshua. Here we describe Mitzayin means we explicitly explain in detail. The word mitzayin means a mark. And in this context, it means I'm not just going to explain in general terms, I'm going to explain in utter detail. Ke'etzem mufshat chai, like a bone that has been flayed, that has been, you've taken the skin off the bone of a living creature. Now, what does that mean? Asher hi ha-yeshua. Okay, these are expressions. Which is the salvation? Tirkav al susei Hashem. You are riding on the Tirkav al susei Hashem. Umar kivoysav. V'savoy b'mehirus. You, Hashem, are riding on a swift horse and coming quickly. Lo yishia es Yisrael. Uve'es ha-yeshua. At the time of salvation, Tirkav al rechev Hashem. The Selech Lishuas Yisrael Bo'esahi, and you are traveling to save the people. At this moment, Nehorois Tivaka Oretz, Ritzoin Eloimar, Oz Ha'oretz, the earth. This goes on to the next pasuk. Oz Oretz Tivaka, the earth cracks open, it breaks open, Es Hanahorois Ligazorim, into parts. The sase bom derech lavor geulim, to allow paths, roads, channels, tunnels for the redeemed people to pass. Umidei hiskir churban me hayamim b'hanahorois, and once we already mention the destruction of the waters of the sea and the river, shehi hachnoas klechamayim hazormim b'shayfim, which is the subduing of the power, the mighty flowing power of the water, Ola beruach hamelitz hatsira shel hakeshes. The melitz, the poet, okay, here we'll call the me means the poet or the describer, the composer of this vision, he now draws from the imagery and from the metaphors of a bow, shu ois habris, which is the ois that Hashem has designated as the ois bris, he will never destroy the world, haniton lahachnoas yisoid hamayim, which was set aside as a reminder to the waters of the world that they should never rise up and destroy, shlo yale v'yishtoif es haaretz bimei hamabul, uchi'ilu yiskale hakeshes al hamayim. Hashem is revealing the keshes. He's exposing the bow upon the water. Umibnei keshes Hashem asher nosan lo'ois bris. Yoshuvu hamayim, the waters return v'lo yizidun l'chasayis aretz. They do not come to destroy the world. Shal ze himlitz, erios seyor kashtecha. Awaken, wake up the bow. Reveal yourself. Ritzoin eloimar. Hakeshes, shel Hashem. Now I have to put on the next page. I have to put on the next page. A page. The picture of the next section of the Malbum. Here it comes. Okay. Here it is. Move it up a little bit. Shehu yachnia samayim. Okay, shachnia samayim shehi tisor lehera oisar, ya. It will appear exposed. Ritzon loymar, aruma naked umigule, v'akeshes yiskale. This revealed bow, Ace Yisker Hashem es Ashua Asher Nishma Osh the Yisroel Hakeshu Ois Bris Ushua Kumashokasa Vahoisa Kesh Bon we seal Liskar Brisolam Bain Lukim Bain Kol Nefesh Chaya Alpi Zayamlitz Kia Keshes Haze Yiskale Alamaim Laharivam will cause the dry of Loyovoi Lahaskeshua Samabel Bris Noyach. We're not coming to remind us of the Mabel. But what we're doing is Rak Yaskir Shua Cheres, Shiashua, Shanishba Shema El Ashvatim, Liftoisam, Biachris. And now he's going on to a new point. But before we go to the next one, let's explain in detail what he means to say. The Malbim appears to say an awesome, awesome chiddush, an incredible chiddush. When you go outside and you see a rainbow, someone comes in and gives you a basur ra'ah, that there's a rainbow out there, there's a rainbow outside. And you go outside into the street, you make a baruch, baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, zoicher habris. What is the simple understanding of what is taking place? Most of us are taught that the keshes is a sign for us human beings. We are people, human beings. Hashem is telling us that the people on this world are misbehaving, and he would prefer to destroy the world. And the only reason why he does not proceed, carry out his desire to destroy this world, is because after the Mabul, Hashem took an oath that he would never do so again. And as a sign, a tangible sign that he would be faithful to his oath, he designated the rainbow as the sign, I will never destroy the world. So what is the rainbow? The rainbow is purely a symbol that goes between humanity and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is angry. He would prefer to destroy the world, but only because he took an oath that he would not do so, he's going to let us get away with it. That is the purpose of the keshes. The Malbim says, you got it all wrong. That's not what the keshes is about. The keshes is not a sign for us. The keshes is a sign for the waters of the world. In other words, the waters of the world are a living organism. They are a creature of Hashem. They have a neshama. And sometimes the waters of the world decide on their own, so to speak. I can't say it's purely on their own. Hashem is giving them permission to rise up and do strange and bizarre things. Yet Hashem says, listen here, don't get carried away. Although I am telling you now that you shall be mishana, you shall deviate from the norm and not function as you ordinarily would, don't get carried away and destroy the world. When is that necessary? That is necessary at the time when Hashem split the Yam and when Hashem prevented the Yarden from flowing in its natural way in order to bestow good and kindness upon his people, Klal Yisrael. So Hashem says to the Yam, Yam, I want you to split. Once the Yam has a license to deviate from what is normal, from flowing in its normal way, the Yam would naturally, would take that as a license to go to an extreme and do who knows what. Once the Yam is splitting, it's not functioning in its normal way, it can go wild and it can flood the whole world. It can do outrageous things because Hashem is now telling it not to follow the laws of nature. In order to hold it back and to limit the scope of what it can and may do, Hashem brings down the rainbow as a reminder. When after the Mabul, I set aside this as a symbol that the waters of the world should function normally, should function al derech hateva. So there has to be a balance. Even at the time of great miracles, the miracles have to be limited and balanced, not to overdo more than what is correct. Now, if you think about what the Malbim is saying, it's, first of all, it's an incredible insight into what is what the Keshes is all about. The Keshes is not a sign for us. The Keshes is primarily a sign, a reminder for the waters of the world to remind them, stay in place, do not deviate from what is natural, and they are necessary primarily at times when the waters are given permission to deviate from what is normal, especially during Kriyas Yam Suf and during the stopping of the Yarden. They're doing bizarre things. So Hashem says, wait a minute, I gave you permission to do something different, but don't get out of control. The Keshes is what holds them back from going too far. And there's a limud musar in that. What's the limud musar? When Hashem does miracles for Klal Yisrael, the miracles are precise. They're not out of hand. Sometimes in life, when you know you have a situation where there's a special circumstance. Talk about now during this season that we're in of Corona. No, there are special circumstances. So just because there are special circumstances does not necessarily mean that the world is hefker. It's totally hefker. There are certain things that you may not have to do. Maybe you don't have to go to shul and daven. You don't have to go to shul because it's dangerous. But just because you're not going to shul doesn't mean you should not daven. Just because you're not going to hear Kriyas HaTorah doesn't mean you don't have to learn Chumash. Just because there are special circumstances, don't allow those circumstances to get out of control and do extreme things. Hashem is telling the Yam, Hashem is telling the Yarden, today we are not going to operate al derech hateva. We're not going to follow the rules of nature. We're going to do today different things. We're going to split. You are to split. You are to stop flowing. That is a dangerous sign, a dangerous license for the waters of the world to rise up and who knows what, destroy the world. In order to keep them in check, in order to create a proper balance between Hashem's desire to do something, lemala miderech hateva, and yet, maintain the order of the world and not get out of control, Hashem has to bring the Keshes into play to remind the waters, stay put. Don't go too far. Okay, this is incredible. Who would say such a thing like this? To go tell you that the Keshes is not for us. The Keshes is only for the water. It's a reminder for the water. And it's a reminder for the water that when you do abnormal things, don't go meshuga. And that's why we can understand why we see the Keshes. It makes a lot of sense as why the Keshes appears after a storm. Because when there is a storm, to a certain degree, the storm is abnormal. You know, it rains. There's a nice rainfall. But most of the time after it rains, there is no rainbow. When there's a massive storm and things are gone to an extreme, this is not normal. Hashem needs to take the Keshes out of the sky, present it to the waters of the world, to the natural cycle, the water cycle, and say, listen, today maybe you've done something a little extreme, but listen, go back into your house, go back home, don't get carried away. This is the way he takes pshat in the word area, se'ar. You have exposed kashtecha, your bow. What bow are we referring to? Not a bow and arrow. We're referring to the rainbow you've exposed when you have caused, you've given permission, you've encouraged the Yarden to stop flowing and the Yam to split. Now, the next part of the Pasuk test says, Shivu
ois ma... May I say something?
Yes, of course.
How do we know that the Yam is afraid? Because Hashem is angry, right? But there is a pasuk, Hayam ra'a bayanos, Hayarden Nisog Leachor. Both of them are signs of fear. So it sounds like there is anger. Sounds like. However, it's not so. Hashem is not angry. Hashem directed the Yam to
okay.
split. And the,
it's not the true anger.
Stop.
Enochanami. Okay.
There's fear there, so maybe Hashem is angry.
Okay, okay. It appears that there's fear. It appears that there's fear, but the pasuk is coming to remind that it may to the observer. It looked, that's what part of the pasuk says. It looks like they're afraid. But the truth is they're not afraid. They're just doing Hashem's will. Okay. Now let's go to the next part of the pasuk. When the pasuk says, Shavuos matos oimer sela, what does that mean? So he says here, the Shavua, do not be misled and think that the word Shavua here goes back on the rainbow. We know that Hashem made a Shavua, that he would not destroy the world. And he used the rainbow as the ois. Here, the Malbum says, do not make that mistake. The word Shavuos here has nothing to do with the keshes, with the rainbow. And he explains what is the Shavua. It's the first wide line. The first wide line is Yazkir Shavua Acheres, Shia Shavua, Shenish Bashem, El Hashvatim, Lifdoisam, Ba'acheres Hayomim. The Malbum is understanding that these two psukim here are not, this pasuk is referring to the end of days. Yemois HaMashiach, Hashem will redeem the Shvatim, Shidoime Keshua Samabel. It's similar. K'mosh Kosov, Ki, Me, Noyach, Zois Li, the waters of Noyach, the waters of the Mabel are to me, Asher Nishpati, regarding these waters, I have taken an oath, Me'avor, Me, Noyach, Oid Al Oretz, Cain Nishpati, that's the key part of the pasuk. Just as I have made an oath that I will no longer destroy the world, I have taken an oath that I will never get angry at my chosen nation. Cain Nishpati, I have taken an oath, Miketsoif Olayich, that I will no longer get angry at you. The oath of the tribes. The word matois here means the tribes of the Jewish people. When Hashem takes out the keshes, the rainbow, as a means of holding in check the waters of the world, not to exceed their bounds and flood the world, that keshes reminds Hashem of an oath. And one oath leads to a reminder. The reminder of one oath reminds Hashem of another oath. The oath that Hashem will redeem us, will never get angry at us. Sha'al di ha-keshes yizocher ho'imer, the statement, shel shavuas ha-matois, the oath Hashem took to the tribes of the Jewish people. Ha-shavua shenishbat la-matois Yisrael v'shiftehem u'milas selah. What's the last word of selah? The word selah is equivalent to parentheses. How do you like that? See, we have invented in the English language different symbols. Parentheses, brackets. That's what he says. Look at the parentheses. In the parentheses it says this. Isn't that funny?
What did you say?
Parentheses. What's so funny? I didn't pronounce it correctly. A parenthesis? I can't hear, Michal, I can't hear you.
Couldn't make out what you said.
Are you able to hear me?
I'm only able to hear you because I switched to the computer. But I'm on the phone, it was straining, no matter what the volume was. But listen, what can I say? Everybody
no,
else
we,
seems to be fine.
Let me ask Rav Kalman, can you hear me clearly? Is the volume okay? Okay, anyone else? Mr. Bloom? Is everyone? We have to find out what's going on over here. Mark!
It sounds fine now, but if anyone's using a phone, a cell phone, that battery is low, it affects the Wi-Fi that has a problem with the bandwidth.
Okay,
that affects how you sound.
My battery is not low, and you're screaming into the mic, okay?
Yeah, I was going to say this, Mr. Bloom. That
I have a big mouth.
Rabbi Levine, you're talking low, and Maya, you can hear, you know, he's talking loud.
Okay, I don't.
I can hear you.
My voice is low.
Rabbi Levine, you're talking loudly here.
You hear me? Okay, I don't know. As far as I know, I'm not doing anything different.
Just go back to where you were.
Okay, so this is the idea of the Maam over here. He says something very interesting. He says over here that whenever it's the word sela is used in this context to mean that this statement, this expression, is parenthetical. Ordinarily, the word sela is another word for amen. When we want to say amen, there are different ways of saying this week's parsha. The Amra Ha'isha Amen Amen. Amen Me'ishzeh, Amen Me'ishacher. The word Amen is a confirmation. That's ordinarily the way the word Amen is used. It's a confirmation, it is an acceptance, it's an acknowledgement that what has been said is truthful. Emes. Amen relates to the word Emes as well. Sela, more often than not, is used exactly the same way. Sel is also a statement of confirmation. It's an expression which means correct. However, in this context, the Malbim is telling us something we've never heard before, that when it says sela, it's a way, a sophisticated way of the Navi telling us that the statement that he has made is parenthetical. We have in English symbols like parentheses, brackets, quotation marks, a single quotation mark, a double quotation mark. The quotation marks can turn in different directions. If you have to be a bucky in the MLA handbook of English language to know when to use all the different symbols in your writing. And obviously these are all modern day conventions that we use in the English language, and every language certainly has its own conventions. Here in Biblical Hebrew, we have a chidush from the Malbim that the word sela is equivalent to what we do today as, we use today as parentheses. Look, we have a parsha stuma and a parsha pesucha. What would you call the parsha pesucha? A parsha psucha would basically be a new chapter. A parsha stuma would be a paragraph break, a new paragraph. Sela is here being used as this, a parenthetical statement. We're going off the page. We want to mention this idea. And what is the statement according? What is the summary of these two psukim according to the Malbim? The Malbim has taught us incredible, incredible chidushim. Let's review the two psukim according to the Malbim. The psukim over here describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first pasuk really is exactly the same thing as Rashi and the Mitzudos, but he's coming. But the focus is not so much on the past. We're taking from the past in order to use it as a springboard for what will come in the future, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives a command that the laws of nature should be suspended, specifically regarding water, because water and the splitting of water is a tool that Hashem consistently uses throughout history to show, to guide, to make it known his love for us and the fact that he is guiding and directing us. This was true at the time of Yarden, when we came into Eretz Yisrael, and it was true when we left Egypt. And here the Pasuk here makes that point, Havin Harim, Chara Hashem. Was it that Hashem was angry? No, it wasn't. Don't make any mistake. Im Bana Harim Apecha, Im Bayam Evrasecha. Of course not. Hashem was not angry. Hashem was just using water as a tool to reveal Al Susecha, to show a Kisirkav Al Susecha Mark Vesecha Yeshua. And now, parenthetically, we mention that when Hashem gives the waters of the world a license to deviate from their normal way, there's a very great danger, because the water does not know moderation. Once you give water a license to deviate from nature, it can very quickly get out of control and do outrageous things and destroy the world. So at this moment in time, Hashem has to delicately hold the water in place. Listen, I'm allowing you to deviate from what is normal, but don't get carried away here. Don't destroy the world. Hashem has to expose the rainbow to the water, not to us, because that's what the purpose of the rainbow is. It's not a sign for us. It's a reminder to the waters of the world, don't ever misbehave. Eryos se'or kashtecha. At this moment in time when Hashem does miracles with water, he has to take out the rainbow, expose it, show it to the waters to tell them, calm down, don't destroy the world, don't get out of hand. And what happens? And when that happens, Hashem himself remembers the historical event of the Marble, where Hashem made a Shavua, that he would not destroy the world. And when Hashem remembers one Shavua, that causes Hashem to remember another Shavua, the Shavua that he made, that he would never get angry at us. This is the Haftarah we read, Shivdi Nechemta, Parashas Kiseitze. Parashas Kiseitze, that just as Hashem took an oath that he would not destroy the world again through water, he also took an oath that he would never destroy us. Hashem remembers another Shavua, the Shavuos Matos, the Shavuos, the oath that he took to, regarding the tribes of the Jewish people, Omer. Omer means the words of that oath, which are, according to the Malam, that he would never destroy us, Sela. And the reason why it says here Sela is that this entire pasuk is a parenthetical statement that had to be said after Hashem has expressed that he's going to split the waters of the world to bring for us salvation. Okay. This is the parish of the pasuk according to the Malbim. I think it's quite awesome what he has done over here. His very, very unique approach to understand this pasuk. Now let us go back. Let us go back now to, let's take a look at a Sipurno. Okay, back on the previous page, there was a Sipurno, which I'm going to put up again on the page, and let's read his words. Okay, here it comes. Here we go. Here is the Sipurno. Havin Horim. Hine. Roisi. I have seen. She nisa esteva hanitzchis. Lishuas Yisrael. Who is the speaker? Habakkuk. Habakkuk here is speaking. And he makes a comment. I have seen that you have done miraculous things. Miraculous things with the splitting of the water. Binahare Arnon, the Yardain, the Yamsof. Isn't this amazing? This answers the question. Who was it yesterday that suggested that the Yardain of Kalman, was that you? Suggested that the three rivers, one was Makas Dam. So Kalman was onto something. Doesn't say here Makas Dam. Everyone until now, Mitzudois Rashi, the Targum, said that it's a metaphor for the kings of Canaan, the mighty 31 kings and their ministers. But everyone else who wanted to learn the words literally told us poetic repetition. Kofal ha'inyin b'milois shonois. That's not what the Sipurno says. He says that one reference of water is Nachal Arnon. Nachal Arnon was a major, major event in the Jewish history, which is all over the place. All over, everywhere you go, you can't avoid it. And the more you learn, the more we realize when we were in yeshiva and you learn about Nachal Arnon, it's like a footnote. You know, like, oh yeah, by the way, when they left Egypt and they were in the desert, you know, their clothing did not wear out. There was mud You know, it was a desert, and they were Anani Hakavod. And also, by the way, you know, there was this story there with Nachal Arnon when the Jewish people were passing through a certain location, and our enemies were waiting above an ambush in a very strategic location, and it was a close call. We just brush it aside as, you know, just another miracle, one of many. That's not so. Nachal Arnon was a major, major event. And it's kedai, it's worthy to focus on that and to remember that just like there was Kriyas Yamsuf, and just like there was the stopping of the Yarden as we entered into Eretz Yisrael, there was another major, major event, equal, which it's almost impossible to impress that upon our minds, because that's not really the way we've been brought up. And that was this incredible event in the desert when we were traveling to the desert and our enemies, they situated themselves in a very strategic location where they could have easily destroyed us as we passed through a very narrow strait. And Hashem brought about it an awesome miracle where he brought the two mountains where they were situated together, crushed them, pulverized them. Their blood flowed downwards. And then Hashem, he miraculously instructed the water, a river that was in that area, to flow in an unusual way, to transport their body parts, their weapons, and their blood in our direction, so we should become aware of this awesome miracle that Hashem has done for us, that we could have been obliterated in a few moments.
Rabbi Levine, they say, I think there is a little truth to it also. You mentioned that to us, Nachal Arnon is not a well-known Nace. Could be that these parshas were came out in the summertime when yeshiva was over, so they didn't teach it too well.
All right, that's not a good excuse. That's a poor excuse. I hear what you're saying, but okay. Be that as it may. So yeah. This is really beautiful in here, where the Sipurno, he's not very happy with the Mitsudois and the Radak. And the approach, kofal ho'inyon b'milois shoynais. He's not very pleased with that. There, if it says there the words havin horim, chorashem, if it says banu horim, and it says im bayom erosecha, the three bodies of water are three different bodies of water. One is Nachal Arnon, one is the Yarden, and the third is the Yam. That's a very powerful idea. Chavakuk is speaking. You have changed. You have deviated from nature. Okay, teva hanitzchiyim is Mother Nature. Lishuas Yisrael, to bring salvation to your people. Three places. Benahare Arnon. Number two, the Yarde. Number three, the Yamsof. This was not a punishment. This was an act of love. Aval, it was lis shuas Yisrael. Why? Kisirkav bum marukivois Yeshua. Because you were riding bum. Here it says the word bum. He adds the word bum, which gives you the impression that we are the Merkava. This is a much more precise translation of the pasuk. Klal Yisrael heim ha-merkava. We are Hashem's chariot. That's a mystical, esoteric, Kabbalistic approach to understanding Hashem's merkav. Hashem has a kisei.
I think bom is the banharim.
On the rivers. Aval l'shuas Yisrael ki tirkav bom.
That's how Hashem does his action.
On what? On what? What's the bum? On the what? On the rivers. You want to say the bum refers to the rivers. Okay, the bum refers to the rivers. Okay, now I see why it's going on. Over here it says young Israel. This is whose chair is this? This is what I was wondering. Who is the young Israel? There's a big leather chair here. Maybe it's Rabbi Shulman. Maybe that's what was going on. That was the conflict. Okay. Maybe that was the conflict. Okay, further. Furthermore, area the gilipanim shall sichon shiyatsa la mochama v'lo yorea v'lo yorea lukim. Okay, now he's also telling us a new pshat in the next pasuk. The next pasuk it says the kashtecha, the bow, Hashem, that refers to Amalek. Chmorin be'area. Area means exposed. The gilipanim shall sichon. Sheyatza lamulchamo, upon whom it says v'lo yarei Elokim, tear kashdecha negdo. You have exposed your bow, your weapon against him. In other words, the Sipurno does not learn kashdecha to mean the rainbow, which is a sign, but instead he learns the word kashdecha to refer to a weapon. Hashem has sent his arrows against our enemies. Who is the enemy that we are referring to? It's the enemy called the Se'or. Who is the Se'or? Se'or is a metaphor, it's a code word. The exposed one. Who is the exposed one? Sichon Melech Og. Sichon Melech Og here, according to the Sipurno, is the Se'or. Uchmoichen Se'or Bishvuois Matois. What does that mean? Hashem is going to, we're going to repeat the word Se'or in the pasuk is going to be repeated twice. You're going to expose your oaths. What does that mean? Matois, shekiblu aleihem ha-Torah b'shvua. The Jewish people have accepted the Torah. Uchmoichein, let's read a little bit further. Uchmoichein be'oimer shamarta. The words that you, Hashem, have spoken, Uridavtem es oivechem v'naflu, that you will pursue your enemies and they will fall. Yitain Hashem es oivecho hakamim olecha nigafim lefanecha. May Hashem deliver your enemies that rise up against you, and may they be smitten before you. Sela, forever. Sela here, according to the Sipurno, is not a parenthetical instruction. It means be'oifen mu'ule. Isn't that a beautiful translation for the word sela? Be'oifen mu'ule, I have to add this to your lexicon. Be'oifen mu'ule means in a magnificent way, a magnificent demonstration of your power. Be'oifen mu'ule. Sometimes we like to say be'oifen mu'hudar, mu'hudar. You want to say that you're going to have a super deluxe shalashuris, a super duper deluxe shalashuris, right? So you say it's going to be be'oifan muhudar. Here it's better. It's called be'oifan mu'uleh, an awesome demonstration of your exaltedness. That is the translation of the word sela. Okay, we have learned a lot of new things here today. Uvechein b'naharos tivaka haaretz, in rivers you break forth the earth. Be'eshed hanecholim. Now this is another interpretation. He's now giving, now this really is going on to the next pasuk, I believe. Let me make sure. Okay, you see, the truth is, you see, something very important that I didn't pay attention to, and it's really my fault. There is a fourth river. There is a fourth river. That is the end of pasuk tes. Look at pasuk tes. Pasuk tes says, unfortunately, I didn't finish the pasuk. Area Se'ar Kashtecha, Shivuois Matois Oimer Sela, Nehorois Tivaka Oretz. The rivers, you have to read the expression backwards. Oretz, Tivaka, Nehorois. The earth will break forth the rivers. The earth will splinter, causing the rivers to stop. What is the fourth river referring to? So the Sipurno says, his words are, we'll finish up now. His words are, V'chein bin haros tivaka haaretz, be'eshet hanecholim, the waterfalls. which prevented Sichon waging war on the other side of Arnon. Okay, that's another miracle that we don't focus on. The Eshed HaNecholim. The Eshed HaNecholim, Eshed is a waterfall. That's a great vocabulary word, which is used, unfortunately, more often than not, in reference to tears. An Eshed, a waterfall of tears. You find that in the Kinois. You find that in modern writing. An Eshed of Bechios, a waterfall of tears. Where does it come from? It's not the biblical source of Eshed has nothing to do with tears. It's a waterfall. The Eshed HaNecholim, the waterfall of the rivers. So he learns here something very interesting, because what the Sipurna was saying is it appears to be different than most of the other commentators, if I'm not mistaken. Most of the commentators, when they focus on the pasuk, the Eshed HaNecholim, they understand that to refer to Nachal Arnon. What we just said before, the miracle, the great miracle that when we pass through Arnon, Hashem caused the mountains to come together, crush our enemies, and their blood flowed downward, and the river then brought their blood in front of us and their body parts to see the miracle. It appears, if I'm not mistaken, that the Sipurno disagrees with that interpretation and learns that when it says in the pasuk, the Eshed of Arnon, it was a different miracle. Something completely, completely different that has no connection to the story of Arnon. And it's referring to Sichon Melech Hoimari. When we came at the end of the 40 years to pass through the land of Sichon, Sichon wanted to destroy us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he helped us through this waterfall that miraculously prevented him from causing us harm. That's a new idea. That's something which we're not familiar with. Asher mona sichon mihilochem be'ever arnoin. Yochilu harim, the mountains, I was going on to the next pasuk, sorry hatzava shel sichon, the mountains, over here the word harim is a metaphor for the mighty king of Sichon. He was terrified. Nosan tochayim koiloi es vohev b'sufa. These are all psukim coming up very soon, Parashas Chukas. The Tohoim gave forth its voice, the Nasa Yadehu, which means here that the waterfall roared El Rum Ho'avir Neget Sivaoi, against his army, preventing them from attacking us. Okay, we have to stop here, but basically what we've done over here, according to the Sipurna, we've done amazing things. We have broken up the four rivers, not three rivers. The Nachal Arnon, the Yarden, Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Eshed HaNecholim. The Eshed HaNecholim was a different miracle, which he tells us, he interprets the Psukim in Parshas Chukas. The Shira, Oz Yashir, B'nei Yisrael, is a Shira in Parshas Chukas, a short Shira, Ali Ber Enulah. No, I'm making a mistake. I take that back. Whatever, but there's other psukim which describe this miracle, a fourth river. So sach hakol, we come away today, there are four rivers according to the Sipurno. We learn over this idea that also when it says in the pasuk, the word area, it means Sichon. Area, he exposed himself with azus panim. The lo yarei Elokim. We ordinarily interpret those words in reference to Amalek. Here the Sipurno says that it also refers to Sichon, area, the one that exposed himself openly with Azus, against him, Te'ar Kashtecha. You, Hashem, exposed your bow and arrow to knock him out. Shivuois matois oimer, the oath that you took to the Jewish people, the words of the oath, Sela you, Matt, you brought forth in a magnificent way. The Shavuos, let's reread it, it's a very beautiful expression. The Shavuos Matois Oimer, we're going to read those words backwards. Oimer means the words that you have stated, that you have expressed and have taken an oath that those words should be true to the tribes of the Jewish people, Selah, you made those words come true in a magnificent way. When did that happen? It happened when the Harois Tevaka Aretz. That was happened when the Eshed Hanecholim, the waterfalls, the mighty waterfall of this river, and this river, which we're not really familiar with, on the other side of Arnon, appeared and prevented Sichon and his army from attacking us. All right.
Rabbi Levine, maybe you could, based on this, Sephorna, that there's four rivers, maybe you could make a little drush from Bereshis.
L'arba Roshim. Wow, very good. You want to make a connection between those four. That's very interesting. Okay, we're going to stop here. We're going to take a very short break for 2 minutes, then we're going to learn some Chumash, some ideas on the Parsha. Okay, let's take a 1 minute break.
Rabbi Levine.
Yes.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
Yeah, so that young Israel with the chair is Rabbi Einemir's den.
Oh.
He gave the dafyomi in the morning, and he didn't
log off.
Meeting ended by host, and that's why we have the problem.
Okay, no, it's not a problem. It's just, it was... I don't know if it was a problem. I just don't know how to, operate this thing as well as I should, but it's fine. It's funny.
Maybe
you tell this.
You can have his number. You can
ask. No, I don't need it. No, I don't need it. It's fine. It's perfectly fine. You know, it's funny.
But that's the thing. I was in a Daf Yomi and I didn't see him end the meeting.
Okay, no problem. It's fine. It's totally fine.
Okay.
It's funny you mentioned this because.
How are you doing, Dr. Phil? Dr. Phil, is that you?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Thank God, no complaints.
Okay, and if you had complaints, we could solve it?
I don't think so.
All right, be well.
You too.
Krishna Mseifem, Michin Alam. I see it. All right. Rav Kalman, you're here. I see you. We have the Baltimore contingent here, the administrator, Rabbi Margolis, Rabbi Chaim, hi, Rabbi Ezra, hello, Rabbi Laser, leader friend, hello, Mark, where's the other Mark?
Hi.
Where's the other Mark? No, there's a Mark Plotnik. Okay.
You don't say hello to me,
Mayor? What's that,
Nyman? Yes.
It doesn't say your name, it only says your phone number. So
it says my name. It says my name.
I see it.
No.
Dr. Wilner, I see.